Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I am Dee Dee Mercer-Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. Well, I am certain that you have noticed this week that I've been doing some replays and that I haven't been on schedule. Why? Well, because, you know, I had this fever. There's this fever going around. Now, it's not where you're bleeding out of your nose and your ears. I didn't have the monkeypox. Nothing like
that. Ebola or Marburg or something.
Oh, right. The Marburg. So they say
the one they're talking about. Yeah.
Right. That they're going to get that one started with the 5G. But here's the thing. I have heard that a lot of people just boom, all of a sudden, no other symptoms. Dr. Jason just get a high fever. So anywhere between 101 and 102 certainly was the case for me. And it lasts 72 hours. So I will say this, and I let my family know, you are not dying, okay, if you get this. Do not freak out. You don't need to go run, do a test, okay? It's just a fever. And fevers are uncomfortable. And of course, as you and I were talking before the podcast, I was trying to tough it out, like how Dr. Thomas Cowan says that fever, you know, has a purpose, and to let it ride. But I'm going to tell you, it's uncomfortable as hell.
Did you have the chills too?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I would go back and forth between a hot shower, out to the hot tub, into the sauna, back to the bed. I mean, it just was, you know, and I was constantly taking my temperature. It was like, please be gone. Please be gone. But it wasn't. And I talked to Neely. She goes, Dee Dee, write this thing out. 72 hours, it's going to break. And sure enough, it did.
Did Neely have it too?
No, she's just been watching several people that she knows. Yeah. And they've been talking about it out there, you know, in the world, that there's this fever. Now, they're using a big scare tactic out there. But, where they were saying, I think it was over in Korea, maybe that people were dying of fever. Now, I want to ask you a question about that, Dr. Jasek. And I think that I heard this from Dr. Thomas Cowan, who you and I both love. He had said that the body will not push a fever up to a dangerous level unless you're in a situation like a hot car, or you and I were talking about, you know, using mistletoe or something like that. But would you agree with that statement that, like, the body's not going to shoot up to 105 just randomly?
That makes sense. The times I'm just thinking about in pets, the times that I have seen like life-threatening fevers and dogs being left in the car is one of those times. There's also a condition, like some autoimmune conditions, but again, this is not a normal immune response. This is when the immune system kind of goes into overdrive. So it's more of an autoimmune thing, where the temperatures will go up really high. And there's also a thing called malignant hyperthermia, which can happen after some medication, especially anesthesia. But again, it's like the body is reacting to something foreign in it, and it sets off this, you know, this process. But I would say with a normal illness, I've never seen it happen where, you know, there's been a dangerous, like a life-threatening type of fever.
Yeah, you know, because my mom gets very worried about that sort of thing. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm like, no, it's fine, mom. At 102, you're very uncomfortable, no doubt about it. But I wanted to let it play out. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know if they're spraying. I don't know if they're putting something in our food. I don't know. I find it very curious.
And I wonder if it's the, you know, if there's like some... this electronic stuff too is kind of scary, the 5G and all that.
But yeah, so I don't know. That's why the podcast have been a little off this week. Hopefully next week I'll be back on it. But you know what else? We are into tick season, Dr. JC. So I have a lot of people calling me right now and they're saying, hey, I'm going to Michigan. I'm going to Florida. I'm traveling. What do I do? What do I do about ticks? Because they are worried about Lyme disease. They're worried about, you know, their dogs getting fleas or ticks, that sort of thing. But what I want to talk about today is that, you know, Lyme disease is not that, even if your dog gets bit by a tick, that doesn't necessarily mean that your dog is going to get Lyme disease. There's a lot that has to go into that. And we could talk about preventing Lyme disease, but, you know, I still, when people call me, I don't recommend that they do the pharmaceuticals when they go out of town. I say, get you some, you know, start feeding garlic. And there's certainly amounts of garlic that you can feed and the cloves. Make sure that you're on a species appropriate diet. You know, you can do the flea flicker that we have that will help with the fleas and ticks. But what would you say? What do you tell your clients when they come in and say, hey, I'm traveling. What do I do about fleas and ticks?
Well, I definitely recommend trying the natural approach, because I think, you know, sometimes because one of the things I'll ask people, well, how bad are the fleas and ticks where you're going? And they usually don't know. So I recommend, you know, starting with the natural preventatives, you know, that's always best. So these would be like the essential oil sprays, which, you know, you might have to apply a couple times a day because they sort of wear off. I've used them as mosquito repellents, sometimes hiking where just mosquitoes are just horrific. And, you know, you're applying it sometimes every 30 minutes if the mosquitoes are really bad, because you got to keep it and you got to make it potent enough. I think what I've learned on those sprays, if you buy the commercial ones, like you go to the store and buy them, they're pretty dilute. So I started adding more essential oils to make them more potent, and that definitely helped. But you can spritz your dogs with that. And then there's actually a good garlic supplement. It's a company called Springtime, and it's called Bug Off. And it's just a dried garlic, but it's just easy because it's in a container. It's got, you know, dosing instructions, and it's already dried in a powder. So you don't have, it's just easy to administer to the dogs. And I think, you know, I think that can help. And yes, I think garlic, given it, you know, a dose to help control fleas and ticks, is not dangerous if you're using it seasonally. Probably wouldn't give it continuously. So there's a lot of things out there. I've had a lot of people come back and say, well, isn't garlic toxic? Well, if they ate lots and lots of it, if your dog ate, you know, 10 cloves of garlic a day, I mean, that would probably make anybody sick. Like, that's a lot of garlic, you know. But garlic is in the onion family. But even with onions, I've only seen one case of onion toxicity, and this was a little Shih Tzu. And it loved green onions, and its people didn't know that onions were toxic. And this dog did end up in the hospital with an anemia, and onions can cause an anemia, but it recovered. It didn't need a blood transfusion, but that's eating like several green onions every day because the dog loved them. An occasional like bite of an onion, or like, I tell people, if you have something that you've cooked and you're just want to, you know, give some leftovers to your dog and there's a couple pieces of onion in it, that's like perfectly fine. And garlic is even though it's in the same family, it's way less toxic. It takes a lot more garlic to do harm. And let's think about the alternative. So people are worried about garlic, but you'll get one of these conventional pharmaceuticals that's a pesticide that is actually a neurotoxin. Those drugs are way more toxic than garlic will ever be. So, I mean, you know, I respect people's choices. If people are freaked out about the bugs and they just have to do the conventional, in some respects, I'd rather them stay with us and stay under our guidance, so they're at least doing some of the natural stuff, rather than going into conventional vet who's going to just get the dog on so many things that it doesn't need to be on and probably do more harm than good. So I'll help people get the conventional meds if they just really need them, or maybe to have them on hand just in case they get in a situation where the bugs are really bad. But bottom line is, I do recommend going natural as much as possible. Oh, and diatomaceous earth. That's another one. You get food grade diatomaceous earth, and it's a little messy, but you can actually put that in the pet's fur and the fleas will eat it. It can help control fleas and ticks because they'll eat it. And that will also, that'll also kill them. And, you know, like you were saying too, Dee Dee, tick bites are not dangerous. Yes, ticks can transmit some diseases, but just a tick is not dangerous. And here in Colorado, we see very, very little tick-borne diseases. The pets that I have seen that have tested positive for things like Lyme or Ehrlichia or Anaplasma or these other tick-borne diseases typically have gotten them in other areas of the country, Midwest, back East. One of the gals that works with me is from Massachusetts, and she said they would diagnose Lyme disease all the time out there. But then, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is remember that your dog has an immune system. So the, there's this knee-jerk reaction, and the response of conventional medicine is to put them on things to, you know, prevent things from happening. But if you focus on keeping your dog's immune system healthy, such as with a good quality species appropriate diet, and maybe do some immune builders, like some mushrooms, some algae, you know, some of these things that can help build up the immune system, especially this time of year during the season, you know, your dog could be exposed to one of these diseases and not get it because its body is healthy. I mean, I think that that whole concept oftentimes just gets overlooked. I've talked to holistic vets in areas of the country where heartworm disease is very prevalent. And they said they have a lot of clients that don't do the heartworm prevention. Their dogs stay healthy because they're supporting normal immune system function. So that's a really big, important piece of this prevention. When you're traveling, figure out a way to keep your dog on a, you know, a really good, healthy diet. And that can, that'll go a long way to preventing the, you know, the diseases. And, you know, don't just go on hearsay. You're like, well, I hear in Michigan, you know, the fleas and ticks are really bad, or Wisconsin or wherever you're going. Well, go there and see what it's like. And then don't do any more than necessary. And I'll tell people, if you go somewhere and just, you know, the mosquitoes are awful and, you know, heartworm needs warm temperatures to develop in the dog or for the mosquito to transmit it. So if you go somewhere and the temperatures are warm and the mosquitoes are just awful, and you get back and you're super worried about it, well, you could give a dose of the preventative, but at least we're not giving it month after month after month, no matter what, because that's not good for the dogs. It just makes a lot of money for the these manufacturers.
I was reading this article by Rita Hogan, and she said, you know, fleas are parasites, and parasites seek out the weak and the unhealthy. So
yeah, exactly.
If your dog is healthy, fleas will be more likely to stay away. Now, what is a good diet? What is a good diet? Well, obviously, it's a species appropriate, as you were saying, raw diet. But she was saying that, you know, you want to make sure that your dog has ample B vitamins. All right, where do B vitamins come from? Somebody called me today. Their dog had had, diarrhea for a year and a half, and he was lacking B vitamins. And of course, he was on kibble. And the vet had put him on Metamucil and all this other kind of stuff. Anyway, I said, look, he's just on an inappropriate food. Okay, so let's just get him on the right food and it'll be fine. Which I had another customer call me earlier. She said, where do I write a review for you? She said, because my dog had diarrhea and within 2 days, fine. He's perfectly fine once I get him on the raw diet. I said, we hear it all the time. Yep. Yeah, good. All right. So B vitamins, they're found in most meats, organ meats, and oily fish and eggs. So if you're doing a rotation of the raw diet, you're going to have ample B vitamins, right?
You know, some of our cancer patients that are just really debilitated, not wanting to eat, sometimes B12 injections will help perk them up. And that type of thing, like not so much on an ongoing basis, because like you said, I don't think a dog could be deficient in B vitamins if they're eating a raw meat diet. There's just so much in there. And the organs, like the liver, is super high in B12. I eat organ meats myself. And the last time I had my B12 check, which was quite a while ago, but the doctor, because a lot of people are deficient in B12. And the practitioner is saying, like, what the heck are you eating? She said, I've never seen a B12 so high. Well, it's because I do eat liver.
I tried. We brought home some bison liver. Mm-hmm. And we cooked, or Rick cooked it up, and I tasted it, and it was like someone pooped in my mouth. It was the gross. I can't do it.
You know what my latest workaround, I just sort of forced myself to eat it because, like, this is good for me. And
because
so
you're really healthy. You're really healthy. You and Chris both.
I want to state it. And
you're going to live to 150. God, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if I want to these days. But anyway, my latest workaround is liverwurst. I found a good source of liverwurst, so it's not as intense of a liver taste. So I get some organs in that way. But
what does that taste like? Liverwurst.
It's got like more seasoning in it, because I think if they put like some beef in it. And like just regular beef along with the liver. And I think there might be some heart in it, the stuff that I have. And it's just all ground up, you know.
It'd be like seasoned poop. That's what it would taste like to me.
Okay. Maybe you just better stick with the B12 supplement.
I'll just come get a shot.
I'll give you a shot in the butt anytime.
I just, I can't do it. just can't do it. But yeah, so that's awesome. So if you're doing the meat, the organs, the oily fish, and the eggs, you're going to have ample B vitamins. But if you're going through some type of chemo or something like that, get over to Dr. Judy's and you can do some B vitamin shots, which I like. I mean,
it's very targeted. It's only one thing. I don't ever use, like, I would never use like a multivitamin with just a bunch of synthetic nutrients in it, because you're just giving the dog a bunch of chemicals. You have no idea if they can even absorb and assimilate those. So that's completely worthless, I think. But I will do the D if we know that a dog tested low. But yeah, I don't ever do any other like oral synthetic supplements. I always try to do it with diet. And vitamin D, you know, the biggest source of vitamin D is saturated animal fat. And a lot of people are nervous about adding fat into the diet. And I think that might be part of why we see a lot of low Ds in dogs, that they're just not getting, you know, quite enough fat, or, you know, maybe they're not absorbing it properly. But
hey, you know what else that Rita was talking about is raw Baltic amber resin, in regards to keeping fleas and ticks away. So she says amber is a resin that's formed, you know, was formed millions of years mm-hmm. ago. And she said, think about the mosquito in the movie Jurassic Park, right? So it was in the resin. And she said that she knows people that swear by these amber resin necklaces for flea and tick prevention because it has an electrostatic property to it that help repel fleas and ticks. And it also tends to have a unique smell. Now, the amber must be raw, not polished like you see in the jewelry stores. But it makes this electrostatic electricity makes it impossible for pests to stay on your pet. And she gives a place that you can go. It's called Amberstone Pets. Amberstone Pets. That's pretty cute when you go over there. Now they make these individually for your pet. And I think they're a pretty penny, but hey, I would rather do that than put the pesticides in my dog. But these Absolutely. Are resin collars for your dog. And
I've not heard of that. I have seen some pets come in with like amber looking like necklaces on them, for lack of a better word, not really collars, but yeah, wearing them around their neck. But I didn't know that they repelled bugs. So that's really interesting. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she also gives another, chemical-free tags. chemical-free tags. So she says she lives near saltwater where the fleas are really prolific. And mm-hmm. as part of her all natural flea control program, she's testing out some chemical-free collar tags. And it's an ultrasonic tag that lasts a year, and it only costs around $40. And the second one, she said, is priced about $50, but it's an ultrasonic tag, and it works with your pet's energetic field to deter fleas. She said the only catch is it takes about 3 weeks to reach full strength, but it's a good, so it's a good idea to buy these tags in the winter to prepare for the spring. Now, I don't have a link for that. I don't have a, I think if you just maybe Google chemical-free tags for flea repellent, or maybe you can go over to her site, but that's a great option. That's a great option.
Mm-hmm. Those I have seen, but I don't know how well they work. I mean, I've never like had anybody use one and come back and say, oh yeah, this worked great. So
yeah,
but it's definitely worth giving it a try.
Well, it's sort of like the EMF repellers, you know, that like I have one on my dog's collar. And do I know for sure that the EMFs are, you know, being, you know, pushed off somewhere else just because of that? Or I don't know, but I got them for them anyway, just to, if it helps, if it helps.
Well, it isn't hurting anything. I mean, that's the main thing. Like these conventional pesticides, they are very harmful. They're neurotoxins. You know, they can really make dogs sick. And I think when it comes to, you know, keeping your pet safe from these bugs, like why not do several of these things? Get the amber necklace, maybe get the little electronic dealie, and then spray on some essential oils and give them some garlic. And maybe if you do several things, that'll be enough that you can avoid the pesticides. It might not be just one thing that is just going to be the magic bullet for your pet, but all these things are safe. They're not going to harm your dog. They're not going to interact, you know, amongst themselves. There's not going to be any toxicity. So, you know, why not give it a try? Maybe, you know, maybe you get to 80%. Well, that's a heck of a lot better than, you know, not having any protection for your pet.
Yeah. And, you know, once you get to wherever you're going, you could, like you said, you can see how prevalent the mosquitoes are, and you could do something to help remove them from wherever you're going to be in safe ways. Don't do all this great stuff for your dog, and then once you get to the place you're going, you know, use some sort of chemical spray to kill mosquitoes, because that's going to get into your skin and get into your dog's skin, right? But is Centronella, is that dangerous for dogs, Dr.
No.
Jasek? If you no, it's fine.
No, that's one of the things. Actually, well, we make a little insect spray here, and that's one of the things we put in. We put like four different essential oils in it, and we put the citronella in it. Yeah, no, it's fine.
But if you were going to, let's say, sit out on a patio, let's take Michigan, right? You say you got a lake house there. If you were to burn those citronella candles, that's okay for pets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I would always be careful, so in general, buying candles, because candles in general can have toxic things in them. So when you're buying candles, you want to make sure there's nothing toxic, like in the candle wax, or, you know, I mean, use those kinds of precautions, because there can be some nasty stuff in some candles. So make sure that the candle itself is all natural, but the citronella is perfectly safe. You could even get like an essential oil diffuser, and, you know, get that going while you're outside, and just get some of the straight citronella essential oil and put that in a diffuser and set that out too. Or even in your house, like, you know, you could try that, and that might keep the fleas from coming inside. Because the problem with fleas is they'll live in the premises. You know, ticks are only on the animal. I mean, they might jump off, but they don't live in the environment. They kind of live in the bushes and on the animals. Fleas will infest your home. So diffusing something like citronella in your home, you know, might keep the fleas from coming inside too.
Yeah. And then there's a, this idea that fleas don't like dogs whose pH is balanced. Okay. If the dog's pH is balanced, the fleas don't like that. And you can use apple cider vinegar to create an acidic environment on your dog's skin. Okay. So you want your dog's skin and coat to be slightly acidic for fleas to find them inhospitable, right? So how do you achieve this? You can spray this on your dog each week with the following solution. 4 ounces of warm water, 6 ounces of apple cider vinegar, unfiltered and preferably organic, guys. And then 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt or pink Himalayan salt. And so you just mix those ingredients in a small spray bottle and you spray your dog's coat and underbelly. Make sure you avoid the eyes or any open wounds. That would burn. Ouch. But that will help as well. And we're not putting any toxins in. I love it. Right?
I wonder if you could just add some essential oils to that spray. I'm getting so many good ideas today. I'm so excited. I have this new stuff to. it's time of the year, you know, and like you, we get this question all the time, but maybe you could put, a couple drops of essential oil in. I don't think that would change the pH, but then you'd get that extra benefit of, you know, the citronella. We use citronella, lemongrass, geranium, and I think eucalyptus, the strong smelling essential oils. Maybe you could put a little of that in. And, it'll be like, salad dressing or something. The vinegar.
Salad dressing. Yeah, there's only a few things that you want to avoid with essential oils. The three that you want to avoid are wintergreen, pennyroyal, and clove. Those three.
I was going to say wintergreen. I've heard that can be it's very strong. I mean, the mints are very strong. I've actually, peppermint can even irritate my skin sometimes. It's just, they're very, very strong. So yeah, those would be good ones to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, you guys should be in good shape to travel. So just before we go, I just want to say this one thing about Lyme disease. You guys, listen, Lyme disease, can also, there was a great article that I was looking at, Dr. Jasek, and this particular doctor was saying there are cofactors that increase the possibility of your dog getting Lyme disease. And do you know what that is? Take a guess. It's the tick-borne vaccine. So they were saying, look, that there's this Lyme vaccine, and it can be a cofactor. They've seen that there can be a cofactor, but they conducted most of this research on the human population because they had this drug for humans called Lymerix human Lyme disease vaccine, but it was only on the market for 18 months between 1998 and 2000. And then they pulled it off. Why? Because there were some serious adverse events and the vaccine itself was causing Lyme-like arthritis.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, any vaccine, as, you know, we've talked about before, can be disruptive to normal immune system function. So that's another good thought. And lots of people get their pets all caught up on their shots before they go traveling with them. And so you've just given your pet's immune system a big, big hit that might prevent it from being able to fight off some of these diseases. And I also think with Lyme is a really unusual condition because, you know, there's this microorganism. It's a Borrelia is the genus of it, that can be spread. So there is this microorganism. They know that the tetracycline type antibiotics kill it. So oftentimes dogs are, if they're test positive for Lyme, they're put on like doxycycline to kill this organism. But then it's like the symptoms can bounce back and forth for a long time. Could be very chronic. You know, this happens in people too. So what's that about? Like, to me, that's going beyond just this microorganism. That's chronic inflammation, or there's something else going on in the body that isn't resolving. It's like there's an inflammatory response that continues. And I don't think it's just about this microorganism. So then we need to think about reducing inflammation by, you know, good diet and healthy treats and healthy lifestyle and all that, because again, that the healthier the pet is, and even if it does get exposed, and even if it did get treated, I think it would be way less likely to get this type of chronic condition.
Yeah, and it said that PetMD, we all are familiar with PetMD. He said in this article that it's one of the largest and most used veterinarian sites in the world. And on that site, they discuss how to prevent Lyme disease by using what we just talked about, toxic sprays and chemicals, as well as vaccines. And in this article, he said most conventional vets also advocate for this approach. And they said, but if Lyme progresses into more flu-like symptoms only when cofactors are present, then isn't stressing the immune system backwards thinking and dangerous for the dogs?
Yeah.
And it says, if you look at the cofactors again, but this time you consider the role of vaccines, here's what you get: chronic inflammation. Vaccines are well known to cause chronic inflammation and autoimmune disease. Also, immune suppression. We know vaccines to suppress the immune system after, you know, administration. And then if you have other viruses in the body, they deliver a small amount of the virus into the body. These vaccines do, right? So now you've got a couple of viruses in the body, and then heavy metal and toxins, which are in vaccines, because they contain aluminum, thermosil, formaldehyde. So that doesn't really make sense. So we just want to put that out there today to say, you know, we're giving you a lot of options of what to do for flea and ticks, because really, if you look at the picture, okay, so everybody worries about heartworm from mosquitoes, and they worry about
Lyme from the ticks.
Lyme from the ticks. See,
it's okay. Your brain's been a little fried here.
A little fried, yeah. Fever, I don't know if I'll ever get it back. So there's a lot of different things. Don't do these knee-jerk reactions, because that's what happens. Everybody is like, oh my gosh, my dog is going to have Lyme. And it's easy to scare people. It is just so easy.
And this is, you know, and I think the thing that people really need to remember, this is how medications are sold. They're sold based on fear. And, you know, you have to understand what is the actual risk. Of course, we don't want your pet getting sick, but we also don't want your pet getting, you know, this toxic overload that's going to make it more susceptible to these diseases, you know, in the long run. You know, if you keep them healthy. And, you know, I have people come in that are like, I just don't worry about all that stuff, and their pets aren't getting sick, you know? So I really think that the actual risk of getting these diseases, you know, things like lepto, oh good Lord, I hear so many people just scared to death about, you know, dogs are going to get lepto from the squirrel pee in the backyard and all this stuff. Fear sells, and that's why they do it. So I think you need to do your research, like, you know, like heartworm. If you know the life cycle of the heartworm, so for a dog to get heartworm, it has to come from a mosquito. It is never transmitted dog to dog. So if your neighbor's dog has heartworm, your dog is not at any more risk. It's based on mosquito exposure. And for a mosquito to transmit it, the mosquito has to pick up that larvae from an infected dog. That larvae has to incubate in the mosquito at 57 degrees or above for 30 consecutive days. So here in Colorado, especially up where you live, Dee Dee, I bet you don't ever have 30 consecutive days where it doesn't drop below 57 degrees at some point.
Right.
Even in the summertime, right? If we're going to have, like, you know, 27 degrees here in a couple of days.
Right.
Thank you very much. Snow. Nice spring snowstorm. So there you go. You know, if your dog's been around mosquitoes anytime now, like, those mosquitoes are not going to transmit heartworm. So if you understand, my point is, understand the life cycle, understand the real risk. That's why heartworm is more prevalent in the South, because it's warm and humid. The nights stay warm. The nights might be in the 70s. So it is more prevalent. And so maybe you do need to think about, well, you know, was my dog at, you know, more of a risk? I actually have seen clients that she goes, I have one client goes back and forth to Florida a lot because she had relatives down there, and she'd take her dogs and she would do this like microfilaria test where you actually look for the larvae. And one of her dogs did test positive after a trip to Florida. So, you know, it can happen, but again, a dog with a healthy immune system could still eliminate those larvae. So if you understand the risk, and here in Colorado, you know, you go up in the mountains, the mosquitoes could carry away in some areas. They can just be awful, but there's never going to be any heartworm disease because the temperatures are low. So I think it's, and this is published, there's like American Heartworm Society or Association or something or other. And this is basic parasitology, this life cycle thing. So know that, know what the real disease risks are. Don't just do a knee-jerk reaction based on fear. I can guarantee you, if you're making your decision based on fear, it is probably not well thought out, and you might be, you know, making it based on inaccurate information. So, you know, find out really what you're dealing with and what the real risk is. I know there's a tendency to just want to do the easy thing. I just want to make this simple. I'm planning my trip. I don't want to have to worry about bringing fleas and ticks back. So why can't I just give a dose of this stuff? Well, you're giving your dog a toxic chemical.
At least we're giving you both sides. We are saying, sure, you can give the pesticide. We're not the pet police. But here's some other options. What's more convenient? Maybe convenient right now, but what happens if your dog develops other symptoms because of pesticides? And how much is that going to impact your dog's life and your life at that point? Right.
Right. Because you could end up, your dog could end up with like chronic illness. I've seen dogs seizure after having these things. You know, that's horrific to watch. Watch your pet seizure. And once we get to that point, you know, we could have chronic neurologic problems. I mean, that's the type of stuff you're setting yourself up for. And, you know, you're not going to read that on the website for these products. And most conventional vets are not going to tell you that either. They just want to sell you your product and move you on out the door. But we are all about finding safer and healthier alternatives so that your pets stay healthy for long.
In this article, it does say that your dog has about a 1-2% chance of stage 2 Lyme disease. And that's the kind of Lyme disease that can make him very sick. 1-2%, because they said that only 10-20% of tick bites will lead to stage 1 Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do these things that we've talked about, so that you don't stress on your trip. We love the fact that you're taking your dog with you instead of putting him in a facility somewhere. That's fabulous. I always think that it's, you know, we travel with our dogs everywhere. They go everywhere. They're like, where are you going? I'm supposed to go with you. All right. Well, listen, you can get over and work with Dr. Judy Jasek. She's at ahabet.com. She can help you make travel plans. Not travel plans. Can you help them with their travel plans too, Dr. Jasek?
So that I will not sign up for, but I can help you keep your dog healthy.
Oh my goodness. Seriously, I'm not fully recovered. But she can help you figure out how to help your dog as you are traveling. And what else? Oh, I was going to ask you, Dr. Judy, you are working with Dr. Judy Morgan. coming up this Saturday?
It is. It's this Saturday. So Dr. Morgan puts on a pet health summit, I think twice a year. And so it's coming up. It's 2 days. There's 9 speakers. It's Saturday and Sunday. I'm speaking Saturday at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. And, it's free to attend live. And I think they're selling the recording for $29. It's very reasonable. So
nice. Nice. And you're going to be talking about ozone.
I am going to be talking about ozone, one of my favorite topics. And I've got some really cool case highlights with lots of pictures of pets surviving cancer and living good lives and all that good stuff. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we so appreciate all of you listening to the Raw Dog Food Truth. Thank you for bearing with me this week. Please tell all your friends about the Raw Dog Food Truth. This is a lot of free information. I mean, every single week we're giving you information to help you be a champion for your pet, as Dr. Jasek would say, so that you can, well, work with your traditional vet if you so choose, right? And but that you have the information to question, to push back, to take a step back. So this is what we want to do. The more we can get this information out there, the healthier pets we have across the entire nation. Right.
And you know, Dee Dee, I would say every week I have like probably multiple new clients that come to me from listening to the podcast. And a lot of times they're like in other states. They're all over the country and they find the podcast and they're like, wow, that just makes a lot of sense. And I got to figure out how to do something, for my pet. So it's just awesome that the word is getting out and people are finding the podcast and learning that there are different ways of doing things. And then they reach out for, specific guidance for their particular pets. But this podcast is getting pretty well known out there in the pet world.
Yeah, it really is. And we get a lot of people calling us as well, but we appreciate it. And we do want you to call. You can go over to Dr. Judy Jasek's site again at ahavet.com. If you need help with getting on a species appropriate diet, go to the contact page where it says, I'm overwhelmed. Fill out that information. Give us as much information as you can, and then we'll get back to you. Because really, we do answer pretty much the same question over and over and over again. And that is, how do I get started? That information's on the website. I promise you, there's probably not a illness or a type of issue that your dog's having that wouldn't benefit from a species appropriate diet. All right, everybody, get over to rawdogfoodandco.com, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.